You're listening to A Conduit's Diary. This is a podcast about me, Rachel, and my experiences as I investigate paranormal activity as a conduit. This is rated R for explicit because I do have a little bit of a foul mouth. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you listen to it. And now for episode 41, more like paranormal. Hey everyone, it's been a while, and I want to thank you all for giving me space and time. While my mother and I were never close, the last few months to years, we'd gotten closer. Learning about the origin of my power, or whatever you want to call it, was the hardest part of everything. My mother was sick for a while, and it was almost a relief when she died. It was strange to be the one who was with her in the end. I wouldn't call myself the favorite daughter, but I also wouldn't say that I wasn't revered by her for being the one to develop the family powers. Now, I guess, I just get to watch it fizzle out. I took a few weeks off answering my emails. It's hard not to feel guilty. Even as a chronic underachiever, I am still an elder millennial and hate disappointing people. My spooky business email box filled up, and I filled my time with other things, like pirating Netflix from my sister and cleaning out my mother's house. That was going to take a while still, and I'm loathing putting it up for sale. Thankfully, Stephanie thinks she can flip it or some shit, and I'm inclined to let her, even if the home is in my name now. The idea of living there is too weird. So when I finally sat down at my computer and opened my email box to the countless emails, I felt physically ill. I considered deleting all of them. Then I considered hiring an assistant. I finally settled on picking one at random and opening it. Rachel, my house is haunted and I need your help! ! I got your email from a friend at work who used you in the past. Please answer ASAP because I'm losing it! ! Marie. That seemed straightforward enough. Haunted house. I could do that. After a bit more back and forth, we landed on a time and day, and I was off to Florence, Arizona to meet Marie. Marie moved into a new development sometime in the last 2 to 3 months, which made the haunting of her house particularly interesting. Marie was in her late 30s and lived alone with her tortoise, Hester. Her job involved computers and something else that I had no idea about, something about security or whatever. It flew over my head like most jobs. Like Hema, she was a biologist. What the hell did that even mean? The development Marie lived in looked like every other development in the Phoenix metro area. I had to drive almost entirely on surface streets to get to the depths of Florence, making a 30-mile trip over an hour. Ridiculous, really. If this place was growing that fast, it should have a freeway through it. It was only a matter of time, I suppose. On the way to the development, I passed agricultural lots and dairy farms that reminded me of the Phoenix suburbs when I was a kid. It was only a matter of time before someone bought them up and turned them into more houses. Marie's development sat in between two cotton fields. The sign in front of the development read, "From the 400s," which was basically a mansion out here and would barely get you a mobile home in Phoenix. I guess that's why people moved out here. That and the peace. When I got out of my car, I literally only heard wind. No cars or planes or anything, just the wind through the cotton fields on either side. It was eerie in the way that silence is to most city kids. I suppressed a shudder and walked up the driveway to her home. It was a modest two-story, wedged up against two identical homes. Looks like moving all the way out here didn't prevent the overcrowding that occurred in Phoenix. These homes were basically on top of each other. I wondered if you could jump from roof to roof, like in those action movies where people ran away from the police. Marie opened the door immediately, her eyes wide when she saw me. She blinked before smiling and extending her hand. "Rachel? I'm Marie. Thanks for coming." She stepped back after shaking my hand and stumbled a little bit. That wasn't too unusual. A lot of hauntings had people who lost sleep. Still, Marie seemed disjointed. Maybe she was taking pills? That also wasn't all that strange. I'd met a fair amount of people who went into intense therapy and were on a lot of pills to get over the stress of a haunting. Don't mind the mess. I'm not quite moved in, she apologized. The house wasn't messy. A few boxes sat in the hallway and the living room partially open. In the living room, a single couch that was too small for the space stood, with a TV propped against the wall but not plugged in. The kitchen looked similar. Three bar stools that didn't match, boxes stacked against the wall, the cling wrap on the oven still there. How long have you lived here? I asked. She shrugged. Oh, maybe 2 months? Three? What month is it even? She added with a laugh. November? I offered, though I wasn't sure myself. Had several months really passed since my mother died? I had neglected the side work far too long. I vowed to sort through all my unread email the minute I got home. Well, 3 months then, she said with a solid nod. She glanced around the space before ushering me into the living room and onto the small couch. Sorry, I haven't had time to get furniture yet. I always mean to, and then... She tapped her head. I've just been overwhelmed with everything that's going on here, she added. Yeah, tell me about that, I said as I took a seat. The couch was lived in and comfortable, and I sunk into their cushions. Marie took a seat at the opposite end of the couch and folded her hands in her lap. She gazed at the TV for a few moments before shaking her head, as if to snap out of a fog. It took a few weeks, but then it started. So I moved in and unpacked everything, and it was great. The neighborhood is great. It's a bit of a drive, but I knew that. I just couldn't afford some of the shit they were selling in Phoenix. It's criminal, really. 3 years ago, those homes wouldn't have cost more than a few hundred thousand. Now they're nearly half a million. They say this will be a suburb in a few years anyway. You know how quickly the city is growing? Even in the last few months, there's so much new stuff. It's definitely developing fast, I agreed. So when did it all start? I was trying to keep her on task, which was proving to be difficult. Maybe 3 weeks in? It started small, things moving. Like I'd put them somewhere, and when I tried to find them, they'd be gone or somewhere else. I know I didn't move them too, but they'd move. At first, I thought I was being scatterbrained. Then I started to tell myself, I am putting my keys in the dish by the door. When I came back, they'd be on the kitchen counter. Came back from where? I interrupted. She waved her hands dismissively. You know, upstairs or whatever. I just come back and they'd be moved. I did that with a lot of things, like the TV remote is on the couch. And then it wasn't. I eyed up the unplugged TV. Marie didn't seem to notice. Okay, so you said that's how it started. Then what? Well, then it got weird. Like the fridge door would be open, or there'd be glasses in the cabinets that I did not unpack. I've been meaning to go through all my stuff as I unpack it and decide what to sell, what to keep, what matches. I know, I should have done it before I moved, but I just kind of threw it all in boxes. I was going to go room by room when I found the time. That is weird, I agreed. She nodded animatedly. And there's a lot of stuff like that. Like I have a guest bedroom upstairs I wanted to paint. The other day I found paint samples in there. Like the little squares you get from the store just sitting in there. It's like the ghost is trying to help me decorate my house. I said, because none of what Marie was saying was making sense. A ghost that put her things away? How would it leave the house to get paint samples? But then it got even weirder, she added, her voice dropping low. I raised an eyebrow because I wasn't sure how it could get weirder. They leave me notes, she said, sitting back on the couch. Now I'd heard everything. Notes? I asked. I half envisioned blood painted on the wall or something like in The Shining. Another part of me worried it was design ideas. Yeah, notes that say things like clean bathroom and stuff like that. I covered a laugh with a yawn. Where are these notes? I asked. She shrugged. Kind of everywhere. Like the bathroom one was on the bathroom door. They have horrible penmanship, she added. She stood and crossed a short distance to the kitchen and grabbed a stack of post-it notes. She carried them back to the couch and handed them to me before sitting down. Sure enough, each note had instructions on it. Rotate tires, clean bathroom, and the weirdest of all, buy Windex. The notes were little more than scribbles and barely legible. When did these start? I asked. Oh, last week, whenever I sent you the email, she added. She sent me the email 3 weeks ago, but I wasn't about to correct her. Marie sounded like she had a lot going on, and clearly this haunting, or whatever it was putting her on edge. Does anyone else have keys to your house? I asked. She shook her head. No, I moved from far north Phoenix. It's not worth it to give anyone keys. Why? Do you think someone is messing with me? She frowned and rubbed her eyebrows at the thought. I don't know who would do that or how they'd get into my house. You think someone's in my walls? She asked, suddenly frantic. In your... What? No, I don't think someone's in your walls. Though I left out the fact that Stephanie and I had found someone in the walls of a home not too long ago. Granted, that was a different situation, and they hadn't been friendly or helpful. Plus, Marie was the original owner. Where do you think this ghost is coming from? I asked. What do you mean? She asked. Well, ghosts usually haunt people or places, right? Is this ghost haunting you or the house? She considered it, then shook her head. No idea. I didn't have a ghost before I moved, and no one lived here before me. Do you think it's like the poltergeist where their spirit's buried under my house? No, I think they have to disclose that, I said. How about I investigate? I offered. She nodded quickly and jumped up from the couch, grabbing the arm to steady herself. Sorry, lightheaded. I think I have that POTS thing, you know, stand up too fast, get lightheaded. She laughed. I watched her for a few seconds before I spoke again. Marie, do you work from home? I asked. Yeah, why? She answered. Just wondering. Do you leave the house often? Go on vacation since you bought the house? No. Gotta save money for vacation. Why? Do you think I'm crazy? She spoke quickly, like she'd considered it herself. I raised my hands in a placating gesture. No, I was just curious if the haunting followed you or not. That's all. Marie seemed pacified by that and led me through the house. It was a two-story home with three bedrooms and two bathrooms. All the rooms mirrored the living room, where boxes sat partially unpacked along the edges of the rooms. I noted the guest bedroom with a mattress leaning against the wall and some paint swatches on the ground. The master bedroom was the most lived in, with a gas fireplace that roared happily in between the master bed and bath. I've always wanted a fireplace in my room, she admitted with a sheepish smile. It seems so luxurious, like something a rich person would have. I can't bring myself to turn it off. It does make the room cozy, I admitted, eyeing up the fireplace. I rifled through my bag and pulled out various items I used to test random shit in the house. As per usual, I pulled out a thermal sensor, a carbon monoxide detector, an amulet on a chain, a mix of supernatural and scientific items. Despite what my podcast may sound like, most of my cases are similar to Marie's. The more Marie told me about her haunting, the more obvious the true problem was. The trick was maintaining my credibility while keeping her safe. I didn't think I could toe the line as easily this time. Honesty was the best policy. I have a suspicion, I said, laying the items out on her dresser. Her eyes widened as she looked over them. Are those ghost detectors? She asked. This is a carbon monoxide meter, I said, holding up the yellow device in my arsenal. Oh, she looked crestfallen. Trust me, if this is your problem, it's way easier to fix than a ghost. You want it to be carbon monoxide, I added. better than a demon or a curse on your family. I turned on the meter and it immediately went off. 50 parts per million. I raised my eyebrows. How long had she been exposed to this? What does that mean? Marie asked as she looked over my shoulder. It means you have carbon monoxide poisoning and not a ghost. It means, I nodded to the fireplace, you should probably shut that off and get it checked, or at least don't leave it on all the time, or have some better ventilation. I'd get a hotel for a few days if I were you and call someone.
Wow,
Marie said, her eyes wide. But the notes, the paint samples. Carbon monoxide makes you forget things. You get dizzy, lightheaded, nauseous. At low levels for a long time, it comes on slowly. Higher, and you can die. It's pretty serious, and if you've been experiencing this for a few weeks, well, I'd go to the doctor. I left myself those notes? She said, confused. I nodded. Yep, you probably went to the store and bought the paint swatches and forgot. You probably were moving the things yourself and forgot. It's not super common in Arizona, but it happens. I'm not a doctor, I don't know the long-term details, but like I said, this is better than a haunting. I didn't want to spend much more time than I needed in that room, much less the house. Who knows if the fireplace was truly the issue or if something else was leaking? That was the problem with new homes. Just one thing could be connected wrong and you're in a world of trouble. I waited for Marie to finish packing an overnight bag and offered to drive her to the nearest hotel. The idea of her driving in that state was terrifying. She promised to call someone to look into her leak once she got checked back into the hotel. It wasn't a bad first case back. It was the typical, the usual. It felt familiar, and I didn't have to use the sight I'd been gifted. But don't get too comfortable, because the following months and cases were not so simple. A Conduit's Diary is created by me, written and produced by me, mixed horribly and edited by me. Cover art created by BMC Design on Fiverr. Music, intro and outro, created by Chris Hornberger.